This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yes, here we are, Chris, banging on that. Look at him, banging on that Steinway. I tell you, I've never seen a man so fixated in my life to pay tribute to such a fine man as Mr. Marvin Lee Aday. Of course,
yes,
Meatloaf. And we are doing our homage today on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where you can call and talk to the guys who know less about cars than you do.
And we don't pay for high quality, and it shows. Yes.
No, and you'll get Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer on the horn, and you can do that at by dialing, if you have that kind of a phone, 516-572-7440. Otherwise, just hang on and listen to the cool stuff that we're going to talk about today, because we don't know what we're doing. It's an open day, as we say here on Motormouth Radio.
I love those days when we talk to ourselves. I think it's fine. I think it's very good.
Yes.
Although, last week was very cool.
Oh,
boy. We had Lewis Lee on. Tyler Longshot. Yes.
Tyler Long, right.
Of course. It was a great show, and it went quick. So I was very, very pleased. I liked it. I love when I like when the show goes quickly. I don't like when the show goes quickly because it's like I want to talk more, but this one was a blast. So, and you can check it out at motormouthradio.com. It's on there. So it was a lot of fun.
I spoke with some of the guys, and of course I spoke to them on Thursday night on Playing in Traffic, and I told them that, you know, it's not uncommon, and it happens rather a lot that the guests, especially studio guests, will say, oh my word, I can't believe the hour went so fast. Is it over already? Mm-hmm. We've gotten accustomed to hearing that time and time again, and we take it in stride. But when we say it, that means something special happened. And we both said that last week, like, wow, where did that hour go? That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback I got from the crowd and the throngs of people who reached out and contacted us all said the same thing. Everybody thought it was a great show. And you can go, like I said, listen to it on motormouthradio.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for our blog, because we send out an email. We don't get intrusive and we don't bug you and we don't send, you know, car insurance stuff, and you know,
we're not going to talk about your extended warranty.
No, we don't. We save that for Joey at Mill Creek Fab Shop. He does that, and but we do let you know what we had just covered on the show, some important stuff, and one just went out. We had a couple things going on. That model car contest down at Desiland in Florida has been postponed.
Oh,
maybe till next year. So there's news up there on that on the blog. You should subscribe, Chris. You should subscribe, and you'll get the notification.
I would know.
I know. And then we also have something else that people may have expressed interest in the past, was we have a Spotify page, because people have, through the years, commented on the music that was played and liked it, and we said, okay, we'll create a Spotify page. And, you know, through the genius of our web conglomerator and discronificator and social media director, he put that together, and we now have a link to a Spotify page where you can hear the full versions of all the great stuff that we play on this show. So
without the torrid voices of Chris and Ray,
without the talk over, right? Exactly. You got that right.
Without the sounds of us,
that is correct.
516-572-7440. I have to bring up something that happened this week.
Use a napkin this time, because last time you made a mess of it. It's
this one, I'm going to make another mess. Here we go. You're ready for this. Now, you got to remember, we handle a lot of the big stuff automotively here, a lot of the larger repairs. We like to venture into those things. But you ever have one of those situations where it's the smallest event, the smallest repair that makes you berserk?
Yes.
This was this week.
Yes.
This week, my wife comes up to me and says that the windshield washer sprayer on the Mazda is not spraying. So I'm thinking, all right, not spraying. Well, we'll figure this out. Let's dope this out. Let's start from the beginning. Let's see what it's doing. So, of course, get in the car. Now it's cold, right? We're talking like 30 degrees. I get in the car, hit the key, start it up. Run the sprayer. The sprayer is like, it's like it's got a prostate concern.
Uh-huh.
It's coming out on the passenger side. It's just barely hitting the windshield. The spray, the liquid is barely hitting the windshield. And on the driver's side, it's dribbling out. I mean, literally.
To interject, it's funny you mentioned that particular malady, because on the Mazda I'm driving today, the same thing. The right side is stronger than the left. And yesterday, the left didn't want to work at all. I didn't try it this morning, though. But yeah, funny you should say that.
Right? So of course, I'm on it. I'm like, we must have ran low on fluid. I'll just put more windshield washer fluid in. So I go get the blue schmooze. I dump it in. Right? Hit it again. Nothing. I'm like, okay, let's start taking it apart and see what we have here. So I start at the pop the hood, because who looks at the windshield washer hoses when they're operating fully? Who looks at this? So I pop the hood, I look around, not a hose to be found, Ray. Not a hose. Just all that's coming out. The only clue that this has any sort of windshield washer option at all is the tube coming out where you would put the fluid in. There's not a signal. You don't see the pump. You don't see, because the tube goes into like a metal hole.
Right.
So I'm like, where am I going to find this?
Yeah.
So of course I go to the book. I go to Dr. Google, and Dr. Google says in order to access the pump, you have to take off the bumper cover.
Oh, gee. Well, yeah, because I know where it is. It's right in the front. But you know what? We also have one of these things going, so.
All right. So we'll hold on to that. All right.
That's what we got. Okay. Sorry. We were a little too late. Yes, the washer bottles all sit right in the front, usually in the front right corner on many, many cars.
Right.
Behind the bumper cover. Correct. And the pump is in the bottle.
So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm not taking the bumper cover off on this thing in 30-degree weather. I'm not going to take it off in 70-degree weather.
Yeah.
So I actually access the bottom panel and drop that, which was only a couple of screws. I'm lying on my back. Okay. I get that down. So I'm able to see where the pump is. Like, I'm able to get my hand on it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the pump is working.
Right.
We hit the key, hit the switch. Pump's going. I'm like, okay. So put the panel back on. We're good with that. I come up to the top. Now I'm looking to where would this hose run? So I start at the cowl, right where the hood hinge is. And there's an access panel there. And with a little bit of finagling, I pull that off. And sure enough, there's the hose is there.
Right.
So I'm able to, what they were smart about was they were able to put a union, a little connection there.
Yep.
And I was able to pop that off and literally use the old straw blowing into the straw into the hose method to see if I get any sort of pressure coming out.
Did you? Okay, well, let's. So, you want to see if we have pressure coming out of here?
Yeah, let's see if we got pressure coming out of there.
All right, let's go to the phones in the front and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, you're on with a voice from the past. I'm the Bronc. Remember me?
No. You know, listen, let me tell you something. I am so glad you called, because the word has been circulating among friends like, hey, whatever happened to the Bronc? Is he still with us? Because he's old. And
I'm not as old as the rest of you guys. Well, see, I'm too old to worry, too young to care.
Okay, excellent. So what's been happening, Bronk? What's going on with
you? It's the Bronk!
Hello, guys. First of all, Happy New Year and all that happy crap, that kind of thing. I spoke to Chris, I guess, about a month ago, out of the clear blue sky. Something came up, and I got his phone number, and we had a great chat. And I told him that, yeah, I'm going to make a quick phone call one of these days and get around to it. So what I've been doing is I sold my Corvette, I sold my Mustang. I've been working the auction, you know, hot August night, so they made me a deal I couldn't resist. And I went out and I bought a C7.
Okay, very good. Nice.
Yeah, so whole new toy.
And you spend your time
at the auto museum and still tinkering, doing car repairs, playing with the bike. You know, nothing changes. Doing a little traveling with this COVID. Can't get out much. That's the biggest problem there.
Right.
So it's keeping me out of trouble, that kind of thing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm having a good time. You know, health is 100%. I'm still as young as ever. I'm still gorgeous, good looking, and I still got dark hair. Didn't turn gray, fat, or dumpy yet. So.
All right, so you still have the same disillusionment you had when you were here.
Right. I put a picture of myself up. I guess when I was about 35 years old in the bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
So when I wake up in the morning, I see myself and say, wow, you're still looking good after all these years.
Very good. Good to hear that. Good to hear that.
So it's keeping me out of trouble. Right, so then I listened last night, because we're down in Arizona since December.
Uh-huh.
I went down to Bullhead City. So I was listening to the 20th anniversary show. Pretty good editing. You guys did a good job on that. You guys are doing a great job.
That's little Chris. He does all that big stuff. So we hand that torch to him. That was a lot of fun to do, Bronk, because that took us way back to, you know, before I was here. Well, I came in like only 2 years into the show, but it took us right back to the beginning. I said it was like looking through a photo album but of voices, and then we started counting the people who weren't here anymore. And then you get a little bit of a sad note, and you know that's the way life goes. You know, so we'll just keep doing it until we can't. So,
well, that's the whole point. You keep going until you hear that final pounding, and that's the nail going into the box.
There you go.
Right? So I'm not going to worry about it until then. At that point, it ain't worth worrying about. So that's what I said. Too old to worry, too young to care. Just go out. You have a good time. Enjoy it. Do the best you could. Right? And when you drop, you drop. We all got that stamp on our backside. It's called an expiration date. You know, and we're at the age now, unfortunately, just like the old cars we drive, eventually they're going to crap out.
You know, and this is Bronk gave me the perfect lead-in. We did lose another member of our extended family from up in Whitestone, one of the guys that was, not one of the guys, Chris, I don't think you knew this fella, but I did from the car shows and from the cruise nights. So, you know, again, our hearts and the prayers go out to our buddies up in Whitestone. I'm going to see if I can get up there to the wake tomorrow and pay some respects. But yeah, and they're only 68 years old in our terms, a young guy. But
I'm 72 now, and I feel like I'm 13. According to my wife, I can't do anything right anymore. I got senility, so it's a good excuse to getting out of house chores. So you can play that card when you get old.
Yeah, it's probably because you still act like you're 13. That's why.
Exactly. Why change a good thing? It took years to get there. Why ruin it?
You're right.
You're perfecting it.
Right. So I just want to touch base, say hi to you guys, see how everything's going, wish you a happy new year. And I'll get in touch from time to time and say hi, and we'll take it from there.
All right, Bronk. Thank you very much.
Always
great
welcome.
Great to hear from you. Good to hear you're okay.
Same here. You guys take care. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Talk about a voice from the past. The Bronk.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember the first time I had Bronk on the show, he only wanted to do one episode. He only wanted to do one.
Yeah.
And
how'd that work out?
After the show... We stepped out into the parking lot. He turned, he looked at me, and he said, you know what? I got some plans for the next show.
Yeah.
I was like, I got him. Yeah, and it was, he was a co-host for how long? I think it had to be about maybe 18 months, I think it was. And
he came in I don't know what year exactly in the beginning, if it was
2002.
So I started in 04. So that was like...
So it was
the better part of 2 years figure that he was here. And it seemed like so much longer.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell him that while he was on the phone.
Yeah, I know.
516-572-7440, blast in the past. So anyway, getting back to the story, I was able to, and I know this is exciting, believe me. So I was able to get at that union and pop it off and blow through, try and blow through the junk that was in there, because I'm figuring it's clogged. Oh no, you couldn't blow through it.
Right.
but it wasn't clogged. Does that make sense? Like, literally, I'm blown through it, and it's nothing is going. It's like barely getting air through. So I had to pull the sprayers off at the top, look through there. They were clear, and I literally had to pull the entire cowl, the plastic cowl off. Had to get the windshield wipers off,
yeah,
just to access this hose. And I found, once I accessed it, I found this. Now you can't, no one can see it because we're on radio, but it's literally like a T connection.
Yeah,
and that what's in there is like a rubber diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that what's in here?
It's a one way valve.
Maybe. I was able to poke at it, and you were able to feel like some sort of rubber diaphragm in there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm cleaning it. I'm spraying it. I'm not even spraying it with carburetor cleaner.
No,
I'm afraid I'm going to melt something. So I'm spraying it with fuel injector cleaner.
That's probably a lot better than carburetor cleaner, yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you think?
No.
So, well, I'm spraying it. You know what? It's seized. It's literally seized tight.
Yeah.
So it's getting dark. It's getting cold. I'm like, heck with this. I run over to the garage, and in the lid, my little drawers, I had a simple T. It was just
were those
regular...
Are those little drawers with SpongeBob on them, or are those the other ones you wear? Which ones was that? Which little drawers were you talking about?
The ones with Patrick on.
Okay, good.
They're a little bigger.
All right.
So, of course, I run back with the T. I plug it all together. With it all apart, I hit the sprayer, and it works fine. So it's like, as the sun is coming down, I'm slapping it all together again. Putting all the plugs, the little clips of the plugs, and getting it together as quickly as I could. And then putting the windshield wipers on, lining them up.
Right.
And you know how you line up with windshield wipers, you go right where the dirt is. The dirt
Good
on your
idea.
Windshield is the greatest guy. Don't
sure.
clean your windshield. Don't be that efficient like me. Don't clean your windshield before you put the windshield wipers back on. So that's what I did. Lined it up with the dirt. Put it all together. Tightened it all down. Works fine.
Okay. Good.
Works fine.
The other
so
thing.
This little, don't yeah. be over-engineered T connection.
Well, if it goes bad again, you'll know. Yeah, you'll know what the heck. Yeah, there you go. There's two things that I want to mention, that just as a word of precaution to people who may try and do this themselves. Nowadays, the squirters that are found on the hood are most times plastic. And they
yes,
have
they
been for a long time. And in this weather, you try to remove them, and it's so easy for them to snap off and break. And now, but they do sell them as replacement parts. And even on a help board, they have some of the common ones.
Yes, and I have found them on eBay, and I have found them on the help board.
And the other common thing with an issue like you have is not necessarily a clog, but like an iced up line. If the washer fluid wasn't treated and it was like a summer mixture or water like a lot of people use, now it's going to be ice, and you're not going to pass anything through. You know.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're absolutely right. But right now, I can blow through this.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of air in there.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. So you just bypassed it?
Yeah, just bypassed it.
Okay.
That was it.
All
saved
right.
it, though.
Right.
Saved it.
Yeah, well, you can probably replace it. Probably if you go to some of the online places, you could probably find that. You know, if you go to, like, Direct Mazda parts, it'll probably be, like, you know, a $38 part. But if you go, like, on Rock, you may get it for $350. I don't know.
But you think about it, it's one of those things. How many cars have you had, like, in high school and college and in your early adult life that actually had the windshield washer sprayer work?
I think one. Like, virtually none of them ever worked.
And we went through winters and salt
right.
and crap on the roads and did we care? No. You'd run the windshield wiper. You'd hit the button just out of desperation, the wash button. Of course, it didn't work. And of course, it would just, you'd get this white streak across.
I used to, you know, hope for snow because you get some, like, let a guy splash you so you get some water on the windshield. No, I used to carry a spray bottle. And you know why?
We all did the same thing.
On the older cars, there was a cam on the pump. When you push the button inside, it would activate a cam that would move a little bellows and pump the fluid out of the reservoir. And that always failed. Nowadays, it's a little electric motor in the bottle. So they're much more dependable. In fact, on my Pontiac, what I did is when my daughter's Stratus got totaled, And the front of the car was ripped off. I'm looking at it. I said, wow, there's a full washer bottle of fluid here. Yeah, I took the whole washer bottle out, dumped the fluid. I saved, put it in my car, and I took the little electric motor, and I drilled a hole in the bottle in my Pontiac, and I installed it. And I'm going to use the electric-activated motor for
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
I just forward-engineered it.
But this is what I'm saying. We can handle the big stuff. And when the little stuff happens, you kind of freak out a little bit. Like, it's like I'm trying to fix something that I've – not that I've never fixed before, but I've never put it as a priority. But because this car, my wife drives my daughter around in it. You know, it's – you want to keep everything safe. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like putting up with the torment of not having a working windshield washer for many years and living with that mess. It's like when you bought a car with – when the air conditioning didn't work. So what?
Yeah.
How many cars did you have in your young life where the air conditioner actually worked?
None.
So you just took it as, okay, it's broken. What else is new? And the windshield washer was at the same level. Yeah. Okay, that's broken. Okay.
The other thing is back in those days, AC was an option on cars. It seems like now every, the four-cylinder cars I have AC. You know, every Mazda, Toyota, Honda, even all those budget cars, they all come with AC, you know. Yeah. And the one car I had when I was young that had AC, my 65 Caddy, I don't think that worked. I don't think it worked. No. That AC didn't work.
Oh, I can tell you. I never saw the car. I never knew you or saw the car, and I could tell you that the AC didn't work.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And I owned that car in like 1975. It was only 10 years old.
Wow.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I had, when I got that little Sunbird from my buddy Paul, mm-hmm. I remember trying the air conditioner, and it worked.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Son of a gun, it works. And then I was under the car, under the hood one time. It was less than like a week later. And I'm looking at something, and I just put my hand on one of the aluminum tubes, the air conditioner, and I heard it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's
it. I just let all the gas out.
Yep. Well, you have a habit of doing that, I know. And people have complained about it for a long time, especially in the studio. So long, Rob. Rob's on his way out. But anyway, if you want to tell us about your gas leak, you can call us at 516-572-7440. By the way, I went and saw our buddies down at Infinity Records yesterday because I got the bat sign came out to me. There was a record that I had to see, and I have to thank Mr. Johnson for sponsoring the music on today's show and all. Here is people.
Mr. Johnson.
People can't see this, but look at this record, Chris. You can see it.
It says Motormouth.
Right.
And it looks like some guy letting out some tribal cheer.
Yeah, it's this guy. What's his name? Chris Gantry. Well, this album was made in 1970. His next album didn't come out till 2019. But the thing I noticed was in his mouth, I said to Joe, I said, hey, there's a Honda 750 engine in his mouth. There's some color. And he's like, no. I'm like, yeah. So when I went to pick it up yesterday, I saw Corey, who works there. I said, hey, Corey, did Joe leave a record for me on the side? He says, oh, yeah. He goes, and he told me that you spotted an engine in the – I'm like, yeah. He goes, he goes, really? Come on. How could you know that? I'm like, hey, who are you talking – now, this is a store full of people. I said, and we're right in the middle of the aisle, and I just – everything stopped. I said, hey, who are you talking to? I said, you're talking to me? I said, you're gonna question my validity of knowing what engines? I said, Corey, it was like the showdown, you know? And he just backed up. He's like, no. I guess you're right. So it was kind of cool. We had a little moment there. But,
it was very spaghetti western-esque.
It was kind of cool. So, yeah. And so that's going to be a cool wall hanger. How often do you see an album with the name Motormouth on it? I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And there's a disc jockey that goes by Motormouth.
That's right.
Terry Young.
Yep.
I know that. I've never met him. I've never heard him.
I haven't
know.
Either.
He's supposed to be a big wheel. And I never heard him. But every time if I'm searching for something through Google and I'll type in Motormouth Radio, his name comes up as well. So
absolutely.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a third Motormouth I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And you knew the engine. And mind you, that picture was kind of grainy and that had that slick late 60s, early 70s black and white look. I didn't, from looking at through our Zoom cameras here, I did not see any engine in there until you brought it really close. And I was like, yeah, but I couldn't tell you what motorcycle engine.
Well, you know what it was? He texted me the picture. So I was able to zoom in on the phone. And because I saw that, the picture on the cover is a man's face with his head back and his mouth wide open. Kind of looks like Jim Morrison to me. But nondescript, and it's almost like a negative image kind of. But the I noticed that the stuff in the mouth was colored in, you know, it was in color. So I said, oh, so I zoomed in and said, in, you know, certain things, there's certain pieces of car in the car world that you could spot in a minute. You'd know what it was. Like if there was, it was a 59 Caddy taillight, you say, hey, it's a 59 Caddy. How do you know that? Yeah, duh. You know, so the same thing. I've been around those things for so long, worked on them, and, you know, for many, many years, and still do occasionally. It's like, yeah, that's a Honda. That's a CB750 engine. You can't miss it. It's, and there's some other exhaust pipes in there and all. Cool stuff. But
yeah, it is, I always say it's a trait that I have possessed for many years, and unfortunately, you can't use it for to earn any money.
No.
But I do. There's a guy up the block from me here. In the neighborhood, he's got a cover over a car, and I saw just the rear quarter window and just see the way the cover was draped over the car. I went, that's a Corvair. And I just knew it.
I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Steve Magnate at Barrett Jackson years ago. What they did in between as one of the filler pieces is they brought him out to the floor, and there were certain cars that were covered. And and he had to put a blindfold on and just feel pieces of that car, and then make his prediction. And he was like pretty much right every time.
I'll do that. I'll take on that challenge.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when you know this stuff and you grew up with it, you know, and other people say, wow, it's magic. How do you know? That's not too much magic. You know what else is magic? I got to tell you about this. Is pretty cool. Carnival of Chaos, which is a show that airs on this show every Thursday night, probably when we're doing Playing in Traffics. Oh, early Friday morning. Yeah, we're still doing Playing in Traffic early Friday morning.
You sure are.
Comes on at midnight. There's no funnel cakes at this carnival, just loud, fast, heavy metal. So if you want to hear something that'll keep you awake or wake you up, do that. And now that we are edging at the bottom of the hour, do you have an honor group of the hour to share with us today?
Why, yes, we do. It is Sunday. It is the Motormouth Radio Hour. And at the bottom of it, we do this thing that we do called the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. We like to honor these people whenever we can. And this week, if you've ever went to start your car while the engine was running, you know that painful metallic sound it makes when the starter engages into a moving flywheel. You know that look of pain on your face when you turn the key and hear that piercing sound, that reek. You know the sound has only solidified the fact that every single neighbor within a 300-foot radius has labeled you a clearhead. And since you weren't listening to the engine running or hearing the radio on or seeing the tachometer move, they may be right. So revel in your clear-headedness and cheer the next time you attempt to destroy your starter or flywheel, chip a tooth on a flywheel with your silly antics, because you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Excellent. All right, so we will take our bottom of the hour break, and we will continue our tribute to the past musical icon, of course, Mr. Marvin Lee Adday, who we all know as Meatloaf. And do you know, in the 70s, when he was at his height, he actually had the name Meatloaf on his passport. I thought that was...
He did.
Yeah, he did. And it caused some problems. There were some times where they laid him over for, like, you know, hours to try and straighten out the mess. But, you know, I don't know if it's on... Maybe it was on his passport, but not his license. So they said, hey, wait a minute, you know, go into this room over there. But anyway. So with that, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio after this quick break with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and all of the fine things that we talk about on Motormouth Radio. You can join in on it, too. I got to fix that up a plate again.
Joy.
Try that. Yeah, join in on it, too. That's kind of like a... I should have chose other words, I think. But anyway.
You can get in on this.
Get in on this. But meanwhile, dig on this, and we'll be back. This is... actually, Rob played this song on his show, so I should have known better that he would. But good choice, Rob. One of my favorites. A little-known Meatloaf song that people may not know is Meatloaf. He was going by Eddie at that time. And we'll be back. 90.3 WHPC. Rock it.
My life, I thought I was divine. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff. Of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's
yes.
All good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show?
No.
Ever in the
no, you see, it's
mankind.
Funny because Gray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest
it's
show
we've
ever
Sunday
done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes
that
Chris.
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Oh, Hoppatootie, yes, I do love that rock and roll myself. Oh, that saxophone. Play it, Chris, play it. Come on. You're bending the reeds as we speak. Oh, yes. Of course, from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, one of my favorites. But
yes, that is a classic. He will be missed. He will be missed. Meatloaf.
There's actually a picture in my chiropractor's office of the doctor adjusting Meatloaf at. It was backstage at an event. He was. Well, he's a big music guy. My chiropractor. So he was. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't remember now. He told me a story many years ago. Somebody who knew he was there. Called him back, said, hey, listen, can you help somebody out? Well, yeah, sure, because he'll pretty much help anybody who needs help. And it was Meatloaf who had a kink or a tick or a muscle spasm, whatever, and he worked on him for a while, and they took a picture, and it was hanging in his office. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, he was saddled with back issues, back problems. He had two back surgeries, I think, within the last 10 years, if I remember correctly,
wow.
Reading about it. And yeah, he says, I don't mind singing and doing shows. He says, walking is just a
yeah, that gets to be the problem, right?
Yeah, but he didn't use the word pain, that's for sure.
Yeah. Right.
516-572-7440 on this very nice Sunday afternoon. Hey, we're almost 30 degrees here in the Nutmeg State, here in the Constitution State. We're almost 30 degrees.
We're it's about nice. That, too, so we're doing pretty good as well. Which is,
Nice. So it's so funny because still getting outside and working on a vehicle in this weather is getting a little bit harder every day, a little bit harder.
I did a quick job yesterday, but the job I did last weekend I want to talk about, I was just going to pad slap my wife's car, her Cruise. And by pad slap, you know, I knew that the rotors are new. I'd only changed.
And she hits you back when you do that.
Yep.
You know that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it was time for brake pads. So it was just a matter of removing the old pads, replacing them with the new ones. Done. Quick.
Right.
And I went down to the shop to do this, and because I could be inside on the lift. And I knew that my daughter was going to be coming down right after that, so I could do an oil change and tire rotation. So I figured, good, I get the brake job done. No. What happened was, on that car, I removed the pads, But the pins, the caliper pins that slide, they let the caliper slide back and forth to self-adjust.
And this is on the Cruise, I'm assuming, right?
That's correct. On that car, that version of car, the top pin is a solid pin, and the bottom pin, it's also a solid pin, but it has a little rubber sleeve at the bottom of it. I could have brought it in to show you. I didn't think to do it. And I don't know why. I still don't know why they did that. So what happened was, you know, and of course I always grease these things and, you know, keep them. In fact, the top pin came out and it had grease on it. It was beautiful. The boots were intact. The bottom pin, I got it to come out maybe a quarter inch and that was it. It didn't want to move anymore. I could turn it. I could rotate it, but I couldn't move it back in or back out. But I could rotate it. So I said, wait a minute, if it rotates, how frozen could this be? Well, punches, chisels, hammers. It took me forever to get this one pin out.
Holy smokes.
And upon
just a pin.
And it still had grease on it. And upon inspection, I said, wait a minute, it had to be that rubber sleeve. Now, it didn't look swelled, you know, beyond recognition or anything. So I took the sleeve off. And, of course, I put a screwdriver, took a rag with brake clean, pushed it into – it's a blind hole in the caliper bracket. Some of them are not. Some of them go through. This one's a blind hole. And I cleaned out what was in there, and I got grease. I didn't get anything more than grease. Put the pin
It sounds like you performed the necessary maintenance.
Exactly. Well, I put the pin in without that rubber sleeve on, and it went right in. And I took the top pin and put that one and went right. So I put the sleeve back on, and now it didn't want to go back in. I'm like, what the heck? So I had to install this with the sleeve off of the pin. And now it had a little bit more of a play to it. The other side of the car, same thing. As soon as I went to take the pin off, the bottom one didn't want to move. So once I got it out, I removed that, you know, the rubber sleeve. So now I came home and I said, okay, I can order the pins. Well, I knew that I had spare pins at home in my parts thing, but that didn't help me when I was somewhere else. So I said, okay, let me order pins. I'll order new ones. And then I'm thinking, you know what? It may be the bracket that is the problem. I noticed that a few years ago they started selling caliper brackets, and I wondered why. They don't get damaged.
Why?
They don't get broken. Well, you know, unless you have a pin that's so severely rusted into it. You know, and I've bought calipers that came with brackets and wondered why. So I said, okay, maybe that's it. Maybe the interface, something happened. So I ordered caliper brackets and these pins. And the pins came, Delco parts, by the way, AC Delco, without those rubber sleeves. And I thought, was that a new design? But, but wait a minute. We're not done. The pin still had a grooved out channel where that little rubber bushing would go. They just didn't. Then I went back on the site that I went to, and I saw further down. They had sold me the pins, the two pins with the two little bolts that go in the top of the pin to hold it in, and it was the pins and the bolts. The other kit they had were the pins with the bushings and with the rubber boots, but without the secondary bolts. So I'm like, also AC Delco. So I'm like, what the heck? So what I had to do is I sent the first one back, and I got another set back with the bushings. I said, I know it was designed that way, so I wanted to, I said, maybe new bushings and new caliper brackets. Well, yesterday when I got home, I took a new caliper bracket out of the bag. I took a new pin with the bushing and went to put it in, and it didn't want to go into that caliper bracket.
Good thing you were home when you decided to do this.
The pin without the bushing goes right in. So I put a little bit of lubricant on it, and then I got it to go in. So
I was
like,
going to ask.
You know, so that's how I'm going to install it. But I'm thinking, like, what is this going to be like? Every time you do brakes, you got to change these parts. It's boggling me. I don't have the answer. If it was someone else's car I worked on that was not greased, I would know what to blame it on. But in this case, I don't have anything to blame it on. I just have questions. So
it's a poor design we're talking here.
Something is not to my liking, but to go back to your point, here was a simple job that I was going to do, just bang it out real quick. I could do brakes on any of my other older cars. I could have done pads in less than a half, 20 minutes. I could have the pads
done,
both sides. No, this one took me an hour and a half. Because of those pins. So,
but I'm thinking that rubber grommet, that rubber sleeve would be lubricated within an inch of its life. Like I would literally have that thing soaking, bathing in some sort of WD-40 or something like that, and just or even like brake fluid. No, not brake fluid. No, you can't because it would swell.
Well, yeah, you don't want to swell it. Yeah.
Right. You don't want to swell because that was the problem. So you don't want to exacerbate the problem anymore.
Although, when I looked at the one that I took out, that's the first thing I thought of. And maybe it looked like a little ragged on the edges. It didn't look swelled at all. It really did not. And in fact, I had to get a pick under it to lift it to get it out of that channel that it sits in. So it was, it wasn't ready to fall apart. I said, I wish I had a smoking gun I could have blamed it on. But again, that's a perfect example, again, of how a simple job turns into a project. And as I was sitting there with the hammer and chisel thinking, okay, which one of these strikes is going to hit my arthritic hand that's killing me already? Which one of my, because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to hit, that's right where my arthritis is. It's right in my left thumb area. And that's what I'm going to hit with the hammer. And I'm using a 24 ounce, ball peen. Thank God I did not do that. Luckily, I didn't hit myself. But
that must have been really frustrating because we're talking about pieces that are not really able to withstand the punishment that you were giving it to extract them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you used a ball peen on something like that. Then
what I had to do is I had to take that pin because the head where I was hitting, now I had all sorts of distressed metal. I had to go over to the grinder and smooth all of that out so I didn't rip my fingers apart trying to put it back together.
Right, because something's going to bend. You know it. It's not going to snap. It's going to bend.
I wasn't really worried about that because it was in there pretty good. I was thinking of other things. I was thinking about drilling a hole in the backside of the caliper bracket. Ooh. To get access to the pin and then using a punch to drive it through. I was thinking of all sorts of stuff. And the one thing I thought of is like, wow, if I had chosen to do this at home in the driveway today, it was cold out, but saying, okay, it's going to take me a half hour. No big deal. I'll be done.
Right.
Fast. How I would have been cursing myself.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that's what I was saddled with working on the car in the cold. I was just pleased that I didn't have to get under the car and spend any more time than I had to under there. It was just a matter of taking a plastic panel down, looking, and putting a plastic panel back up.
Right.
That was really it. If I had to get down on the ground in the cold, it has gotten to that point where it's getting harder to do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true.
I mean, I remember the old days we used to shovel the snow to get to the car.
I could tell you stories. When I met my good friend Gerard, not from Rolling Thunder, it's another Gerard. He came up to the house, and we had kind of known each other, but we weren't close friends. And he said, hey, Ray, can you work? I know you work on a lot of cars. Can you help us out? Like, yeah, what's the problem? His good friend, who became his brother-in-law later on, they were putting a clutch in his car. And they had successfully, on his gravel driveway, taken the transmission out, replaced the clutch. They got the transmission back up, the four-speed, and couldn't get it in that last inch, which is very common.
Sure. What's the dummy plug? What is that thing?
It's the to align the disc, but that isn't always what the problem is. Sometimes it's just, I mean, I've had it happen on so many cars. It happens. It's just, you got to just finagle it and work it and, there's all sorts of stuff you can do.
Right, because it's a spline, you got to get it just right. Sure. Right.
So what happened was, and of course, I asked him that, but I said, okay, give me a minute. So I got on the appropriate clothes, whatever that was, a bathing suit and flippers. I don't know. It was the middle of winter. It was about 20 degrees. And what we did was he had somebody waiting there in a car. We were going to drive down a block. So we got on the back bumper and skitched down the hill and around the corner. That's how much the snow and ice was that it wasn't even off the road yet. And of course, we get to the house. The car is up on jack stands, but on the snow, they had just put some cardboard and we're under there laying on the snow, getting this clutch in. So I got the job done. And of course, that's how I got my, my street cred with those guys.
Your street cred just went up. Yeah,
but,
sure.
But then years later, when I got my Camaro, the same thing. The car came, it had a spun bearing. And I was going to look at those bearings, but people told me, hey, big block Camaro, you're never going to get the oil pan off in the car. And again, I remember now this being winter and at night we had drop lights and all and the engine was jacked up as far as I could go. I took, take the distributor cap off to get more clearance, pulled one of the big header tubes off to get the starter off. That was a problem. And I did get
I'm getting cold just hearing this story. Chills.
And I'm going back in time. It was at night, and it was like the dead of winter. And I remember, working on this thing like that just because, I got to get this car going. And we did. We did. Now,
wow.
I don't know if I'd be as eager
Yeah. I'd be like, let it sit there till at least June. June will be good. I'll do that in June.
Right.
And yeah, I love all these guys with these delusions. Like, oh yeah, winter project. I'm gonna go out to the garage, winter project. Yeah, unless the garage has got a running gas heater or a propane tube or whatever have you that can get that puppy up to a good 70 degrees. I'm having second thoughts.
You know, you're right. And I spoke about that a little while ago. And the other thing I thought of was, you know, there's parts of a project that you could do. Because I did this with my own car when I was restoring it. And those are the things you bring inside in the winter. Like it could be interior parts or you can build sub-assemblies and do things inside. So yes. There are some things you can do like that if you don't have a heated facility. Yeah, that's the problem.
No, very, but, very, very true. And that is something that I would highly recommend, especially now we're getting up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things that I've gotten to that point where the way I solved this problem was to have two different classic cars, or two different cars that were, you know, aficionado based.
Right.
So, and now I'm down to one.
And what have you done to it lately in this cold weather?
Wipe the dust off the trunk. That's really nothing. About it.
Right. So what is on the, like, you, when you last left off with that car, as I recall, I'm trying to remember, what was the last thing you were really fighting with?
On the big one, yeah. The big one cracked me up because there's a lot of things. Everything is a project on the big one. The small one, I watched the taillights go away this week.
Oh, this week. Good, good.
Yes, this week I watched the taillights go away. But you know what I did do on the small one that I wanted to bring up? Another dumb thing. This is really small. This is really stupid. I ordered a radio for the small one, and it was an AM/FM cassette with the CD. And the reason why is because mine, the CD was out of alignment. Half the lights in the radio didn't work, and the buttons were starting to wear out. Starting to.
Yeah.
So I get another one that, and the guy sends it from eBay. The picture has all the buttons, all look good, but it was at a good price. So I bought it. And of course, silly me, I get it delivered. None of the buttons, all the buttons are worn out.
Oh no.
Every single one of them worn out. I wrote the guy. I was like, you know, this is a little breach of advertising here.
He was like a stock picture.
You lied. Yeah, I said, you lied. So he was like, send it back. And I'm like, I don't want to send it back because it works.
Right.
So what I had to do is I took the radio faces apart.
Okay.
And I swapped buttons because they were the same units.
See, perfect indoor winter project.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Brought it in the basement, had them both in pieces, and that's what I did. I swapped the buttons out and put the faceplate back on again. Worked like a charm.
Nice.
Like a charm. Now I have a box with the old one because I didn't have time to put the old one back together again. So now that's in the garage.
What are you going
to
do with that? That should have been in the trunk of the car when it went bye-bye.
Nah, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that back together again. I'll just sell it as parts.
Okay.
Sell it as a core because this cassette worked, the radio worked, the clock worked, just the CD was out of alignment. And I just didn't feel like futzing with
okay.
it. So I just said, you know what, just order another one.
Okay.
So I did. So I had to mess with it anyway. And it worked out very, very well. Now I just have to take the time to go back and put the old radio back together again and probably in this basement, probably here on this table.
Right, right.
Okay. In between radio shows.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's a perfect indoor winter project. It really is. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, isn't it annoying, especially on newer cars that are turning into older cars? Like, this car was in the 90s, and we're talking about a radio that's been pressed on for 30 years. You know, in the old days, the knobs were chrome. You can even just clean them up, get all the nicotine off them, and put them back on, they're fine. But now it's a lot different because you wear that button down, and now all you got is this green glob that's glowing at you at night.
Yeah.
It doesn't say power anymore. It's just completely rubbed off. And how are you going to order buttons?
No.
I always thought to myself, who has buttons?
No. If you remember, back in the day, on GMs, on the like the washer stalk and the headlight stalk, that white lettering was silk screened on. And the early ones always wore off. Now,
yeah, don't clean it with Windex. You don't clean it with Windex. Well,
now today they're much better today. I think they realized there was a problem, and they're much, much better today than they were in the past. So it's definitely a lot better. So,
I still don't clean those stocks with Windex. That's what used to take them off.
Right.
You were like, it was like someone plunged a knife in your heart. As soon as you ran the Windex across that, the cruise control stock and the intermittent wiper option was on that stock.
Right.
You went and wiped it with some Windex, you were done.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to pull the wheel off again.
I know. And you just live with it. I mean, you knew what the wipers did, so that wasn't a big deal.
I can't tell you how many times I just lick my thumb and just clean it that way.
Right. Well, you know what? Let's lick a thumb and push this button and see if it works and say, hi, you're all the Motor Mouths.
Hey, right, John. How are you, buddy?
Good, John. What's happening?
Hey, John.
Not too much. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Same to you. What's going on?
I'm laughing listening to Chris with the old radios. You know what scares the bejeebus out of me? Probably when I'm in my 70s, trying to get my phone to communicate with a 25-year-old car.
Yeah, right. Think about that. All the Apple Play and Bluetooth, all the communications we have today. Yeah. And John, you being one of the premier consummate computer guys that I've ever known in my life. In fact, that's how I met you. To hear you say that, I know that my thought was right. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're going to go back to tuning dials and push buttons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I see it now, like you get an update and all of a sudden your car gets a little funky.
Right.
Then you got to go search, and some of them now, they have built-in Wi-Fi to them and they update on their own, but a lot of them, you had to get one of those USB dongles and plug it in to upgrade the OS in the phone, not in the phone, in the radio in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Chris, I want to tell Chris a quick story about you, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
When I met John at the job, this is going back 35 years. John was a troubleshooter. He would come around and fix everybody's pre-internet days, but he would fix the OSs and he would fix software problems and you name it, he would fix it. And we had a lot of stuff that was like, you know, not mainstream software. It was kind of one-off stuff. And John would come in and bang around, and you know, I'd go in and see him, and he would fix it. And I said to him, Jesus, you know, I could see the major stuff that you would know, but how do you get to know all this other stuff? Like, are you like the Swami of software? How do you know? And John turned to me with a straight face, like only he could do, and said, no, Ray, he said, and I, if I'm giving away your secret, John, I'm sorry. But he said, no, I don't know more than you. I just guess better than you. And I said,
ain't that the truth?
And I said, you son of a biscuit, boy. And he's right. Because I've used that line moving forward with people where they say to me, hey, how did you figure that out? I'm like, listen, I just guess better than you, buddy.
Yeah, if only I could do that in the Powerball.
Yeah, right? I know.
Yeah, right? That's for sure. Mega Millions. Let's guess
better.
Oh,
my God, yeah. It's going to be a frightening thing 25 years from now trying to get your radio to work with your phone.
You're right. I mean, all the communications that we have now, that everything, and of course they're forcing us, everything is going Bluetooth and going wireless. And you know, I keep saying, like, it's great, technology is great, but, you know, what do you do when the power goes out? You know?
Yep.
And that's why I always show the kids. That's why we keep grandma's oil lamps, and that's why we have, you know, other devices that'll get us through a power outage.
And an old princess telephone.
Yeah, right. An old wall phone, right?
Yes.
A landline.
I still got one in my house.
Me too. Still
only
got.
The problem is when the cable goes out, so does the phone.
Right. Well, because now it's VoIP. Right. But
the old days when the power went out, but the phone didn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the phones ran off batteries in the central office back in the day.
And it was a 90-volt signal that went to the wall phones, I remember. You know, that was
only when it rang. And boy, yeah. I did some work. You know, I did a lot of that on the side. And you don't want to be holding those wires when the phone's ringing.
Yeah.
You bet. It'll light you up.
Yeah.
I know. It's happened to me, too. Yeah.
There's a couple times I thought I was going to walk away looking like Don King.
Well, and that was like, I remember the first time I got zapped by an HEI ignition, and my hand was, you know, one was on the distributor, the other one was on the, another piece of the car, and literally, the voltage came down, and I did one of these. I did the snake, because it went up one arm, across the shoulders, and down the other, and I just turned into flex sexy man.
And, yep.
Wow.
Your next date's going to light up like a pinball machine and pay off in silver dollars.
I know. The only good thing was my sinus is instantly cleared up, so that was very good.
Yeah, our old co-host, Tony Trinsilla, I watched him get zapped one time and his glasses flew right off his head.
Wow.
He just took off.
Right.
I was like, I'll go across the parking lot and get those for you, Tony. It was one of those, yeah.
Chris, I'll tell you a funny story, and Ray knows this from back in the day when the college had their mainframe. And I was watching the IBM guy who used to come in, you know, periodically, I think it was monthly, to service all of the filters and stuff in these huge disk drives that were in the data center. And something went wrong in the mechanism in the thing. And you used to have to, you know, cycle it down, and there was a brake that stopped it from spinning. Now, I'm talking the platters were probably a foot, 14 inches. They were big.
Wow.
So the thing is spinning at God knows how many RPMs, and he unscrews it out of the thing, and I'm watching him whip around the room trying to hold it. It was like a gyroscope.
Oh, boy.
Talk about stuff that, yeah, when things go wrong. Woo.
Well, and I tell you what else has gyroscoped out of control, and that's our time here today. We got to go. So, John, thanks for the call.
Well, signing off. Nanu, nanu.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, John. Stay well.
All right. Have a great rest of the day, guys.
All right. So long.
Thanks for the call, John.
Excellent. All right, Chris. Well, we got a few guests in the cloud. We may have one next week. We'll let you know, but we're going to get out of here because Kim is in to do Thunder Road, so stay tuned. Say hi to Kim. There you go.
Hey, Kimmy, 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 Kimmy.
Good. All right, so with that, we'll be back next week. Chris, what do you people say to you and John in the parking lot when they're waiting to come in?
Whether the problem is big or small, don't follow us home.
Right. All right, so we'll see you next week. Motorbath Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See you, man.